Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah Bitterness of the 12th Hour Apostolic Seventh-day Congregation of South Dakota, Alabama, Liberty Hill, Tracy. Today is January 6, 2017. It is 3/20/2021. We will start our second service on this Sabbath day with a song entitled, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Turn my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing. Offer songs of loudest praise. Teach me, Sovereign, to adore thee. May I feel thy goodness prove. All the hope of endless glory. Fills my heart with joy and love. Here I raise my Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I've come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Thus beset me when a stranger, wandering from the foes of yore. Here to rescue me from danger, interpose his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Lift thy goodness like a fetter, in a closer still to thee. Cause if one day I feel it, cause beneath thy yoke love, is my heart awake and sealed, sealed for thy course of love. Holy One, Part 10, Isaiah 38. Verse 1, In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Yahweh, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Yahweh, and said, Remember now, O Yahweh, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in the truth, and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Yahweh unto Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith Yahweh, the Elohim of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. This shall be a sign unto thee from the Yahweh, that the Yahweh will do this thing that he has spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees, which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backwards. So the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down. The reign of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness, I said in the cutting off of thy days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. I said, I shall not see the Yahweh. I shall not see the Yahshua, even the Yahshua, in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pine sickness. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. I reckon till morning that as a lion, so will he break all my bones. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. My eyes fail with looking upward, O Yahweh. I am oppressed. Undertake for me. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Yahweh, by these things men live, and in all these things in the life of my spirit, so wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love toward to my soul delivered from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Well, he said the same thing about David. And so for the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down to the pit cannot hope for thy truth. For the living he shall praise thee. As I do this day, the Father to the children shall make known thy truth. For Yahweh was ready to save me, therefore we shall sing my songs to be to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Yahweh. And read that verse 20 again. This is Isaiah 38. For the Yahshua was ready to save me. This is talking about the Son. Therefore we will sing my songs unto the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Yahweh. For Isaiah had said, let them like a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the ball, and he shall recover. Hezekiah also had said, what is the sign that I shall go up to the house of Yahweh? Question mark. End of chapter 38, Isaiah. Let's go on to verse chapter 39, Isaiah, verse 1. At that time, Merodach, Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that he had been sick and was recovered. And Hezekiah was glad of them and showed them the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointments and all the house's armor and all that was found in his treasure. There is nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, what said these men? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country unto me, even from Babylon. Then said he, what have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered and said, all that is in my house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, hear the word of Yahweh, hear the words of the Yahshua of the host. Now this is the Son, Yahshua. So you know Isaiah, we're dealing with when it has upper and lower case, Lord. This is, we're dealing with the Yahshua here. We're going to have to get used to this. Instead of saying Yahweh the Father all the time, or most of the time, we're going to have to get used to dealing with the Old Testament prophets. They were all introduced to Yahshua. That's who that they had to count to on everything. David had to, and this is what they all had to count to. And I think this is the problem as far as we had so much rejection of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, because they rejected the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. Never changed a bit. They refused to accept the Son in the Old Testament. That they proved that by the Pharisees at the cross. because Yahshua came in the Old Testament. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were all in the bringing to a close of the Old Testament. They were in the Old Testament. And they showed this, they had the same kind of spirit as their forefathers had, of rejecting the Son. So the Son was prophesied, and all the prophets clear up to the cross, and behold, Yahshua appeared in the person. Actually, the one that they had been, even the Pharisees acknowledged that there was to be a Son come. They knew this, but they thought he was going to come full grown. And then they would have accepted him that way. But he came in the form of the birth canal of mankind, born as a babe in a manger, and grew up among them, and they just didn't regard him as anything but just one of the citizens that was born in their country and grew up among them. When he got grown and made these claims of being the Son of Yahweh, the Father, then they couldn't accept that. Just like they cleared all the way back to the Garden of Eden. When they had the first rebellion in the Garden of Eden, the first son born, Adam and Eve, Cain, he showed that he was not going to accept this man, Yahshua. That's what started sin in heaven. Lucifer said, "I will not accept this son, Yahshua." It all started right there. Cain says, "I'll not accept this son, Yahshua." So this is what we're going to have to get our minds reprogrammed to understand, that this has been the problem all the way down from the creation of Yahshua in heaven and the angels. It all started there. Came in and it spilled over into this world. So I'm going to do this again, Isaiah 39, verse 5. Then said Isaiah unto the Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Yahshua of the host." 2 Kings 20, 14 to 16. "Behold, the days come that all that is in thy house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day shall be carried unto Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Yahshua." So now Yahshua is in charge of everything of this world. After man fell into sin, Yahweh put him in charge of everything. He said, "I have made you to be my voice and to be me. You have the same power and authority that I have. I'm delegating this to you by the Spirit. You will have this always." Okay, now in Isaiah 39:7, "And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." Then said Hezekiah to Isaiah, "Good is the word of the Yahshua which thou hast spoken." He said, "Moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days." So Yahweh made it easy for his son Yahshua to be the commander-in-chief of this world. He gave him the spirit. He gave him his spirit always to be with his son Yahshua. And his son Yahshua had the freedom and ability just like Lucifer had. After Lucifer caused his world to fall into sin, he was able to go and travel between this earth and heaven for the next 4,000 years. Well, Yahshua had that same privilege to travel between the earth and heaven the next 4,000 years if he needed to. And indeed he did, because the Bible talks about how he came to this world. The prophets pointed out Ezekiel, especially in Ezekiel 1, 26, showing where Yahshua the Son. And in Isaiah chapter 6, showing where he came from heaven to earth. So now, we're going to go into Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort ye, my people, saith the Yahweh. Okay, it says God, G-O-D, so we're going to give Yahweh the identity here, the Father. It says, speak ye comfortably unto Yahrushim, and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Yahweh's hand double for all her sin. Well, if we go back to the Father, then we're going to again drop Yahshua. And we can't do that. We can't do that with the prophets, because they had first-hand dealings with the Son, because he was dedicated for this, for their cause and their time. So let's go back and read that again. Isaiah 40 verse 1. Comfort ye my people, saith your Savior, Redeemer, Yahshua, the Messiah. Speak ye comfortably unto Yahrushim, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. Well, her warfare wasn't accomplished until the cross. So then this certainly would have to be Yahshua talking here, because he is the one that brought her warfare to a close at the cross, that her iniquity is pardoned. But how does that happen? She comes to the atonement, and Yahshua the high priest mediated their cause before the Father, the judge, upon the high throne in the most holy place. The Son represented their cause, and he's the one by his blood caused their sins to be pardoned. For she has received of the Yahshua's hand double for all her sins. Okay, now we got a cross reference here, Isaiah 61:7. Let's see what we have there. It says, for your shame you shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double, everlasting joy shall be unto them. And then Isaiah 60 verse 15 confirms that as well. He said, whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. And then Isaiah 1:7-9, it talks about the same subject. Isaiah starts off talking about it. He said, Isaiah 1:7-9, he said, your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devoured in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion, this is the house of David, is left as a cottage in a vineyard. Okay, so what happened down at Kermit in 2002? What showed up there? This daughter of Zion showed up and in the vineyard at Kermit. And what does Isaiah 5:7 say? For the vineyard of the Yahshua of the host is in the house of Israel. And the house of Israel today, the spiritual house, is the Seventh-day Adventist Church. There you have it. So it says, and the daughter of Zion, the house of David, tribe of Judah, lawgiver, is left as a cottage in a vineyard. It wasn't in the vineyard, because Isaiah 5:7 says the vineyard of the house of Yahweh is, it says the house of Israel, but then I add the preposition, either in or of the house of Israel. But it says here in Isaiah 1:8, it says a cottage in a vineyard, not the vineyard. So what is a vineyard? It was in the vineyard that was located at Kermit, Texas, in the third feeding pasture, Gilead Center. There was another vineyard before that. That was at Mount Carmel. Okay, that was called a vineyard. That was the daughter of Zion. And what was before that? The daughter of Zion was in the vineyard of Bashan from 1850 to 1890 in a vineyard. But the vineyard is the overall, collectively, of the Adventist Church with all her three daughters. That's the vineyard. But a vineyard is when they've been separated one at a time in three different time periods, one succeeding the other. Now, we go back to Isaiah 39, verse 6, and there, behold, the days come that are all that is in thine house, and that which thy fathers have laid up in store, until this day shall be carried unto Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Yeshua. And of thy sons, this is Isaiah, I backed up with Isaiah 39:7, and of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou hast beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Now let's drop on back down now to Isaiah 40. Let's go to verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Yeshua. Now who is this voice crying in the wilderness? Well, in the type at the before and after the cross, John the Baptist. He was a voice crying in the wilderness. He was a messenger of the covenant that the disciples inquired about, because the Pharisees had made a statement that they knew from the prophecies that Elijah was the first come to restore all things, and then comes the Messiah. And the disciples didn't understand that prophecy. So they went to Yeshua and they said, well, the Pharisees say that Elijah must first come and restore all things. Well, Yeshua said to the disciples, I say to you that Elijah has already come. And they knew it not. And the disciples perceived that he was talking about John the Baptist. And all the time, they were not aware of what part that the John the Baptist was playing at the time. They were not aware that he was the messenger of the covenant, Malachi 3:1-3, that he was the antitypical Elijah. In other words, he was the antitypical messenger of the covenant with the identity of the two parts of the Father's name, Eliyahu, which transliterated in the English is Elijah. They weren't aware of this. Yeshua says, he's already come. Man, were they ever taken back? But that helped to confirm to them that Yeshua was truly the true Messiah. Because John the Baptist was Elijah, the Pharisees knew it not, the disciples knew it not, but now the disciples know it, and so now they understand the mystery of the kingdom better than the Pharisees, because they have inspiration, or because they believed in the Son of Man, of Yahweh, being the Son of Yahweh. They believed in him, and so that gave them the key to the kingdom of David. The keys of David lay upon their shoulder. And they were able then to believe, and then they believed, and they said, oh boy, we understand something that the Pharisees don't understand. We've got the Elijah right here in our midst, and they don't even know it. We've got him. And Yeshua is truly the Messiah, and truly everything's going to be restored now. Because the prophecy does say that Elijah's got to come and restore all things. And we know that John's done come on the scene, and he's gone now. And so he's off the scene, and all things hadn't been restored yet. So apparently, he paved the way in the wilderness for the Messiah to come and put the finishing touches on restoring all things, folks. And this is where we're at in the end of time today. So we go back to Isaiah 40, verse 3, and it says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Yeshua, make straight in the desert a highway for our, and it says God, upright Lord. And so the translators want you to believe that this is talking about the Father, but you know, this is not talking about the Father. This is talking exclusively about Yeshua, the Son. Okay, because we know that John the Baptist made straight in the desert a highway for our Savior, Redeemer, Emancipator, our Deliverer, Yeshua, the Messiah, the Son of the Living Yahweh. Every valley, Isaiah 40 verse 4, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Yahshua shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it, all together. For the mouth of the Yahshua has spoken it. For did the disciples see that divine revelation together when Yahshua said to them, Elijah has already come? Didn't they perceive and understand that divine revelation all together at once? Yes, they did. Because the mouth of Yahshua had spoken it, and they had already learned to accept and believe in him as the true Messiah that came from heaven by the divine revelation of the being born, miraculously being born of a woman here on earth. When they realized and understood how that all happened, and they accepted and believed that, then they were on the road then to become the leaders and the teachers and the prophets and the future promulgators of the truth clear down to the end of time. That's the reason why the New Testament is made up of their record that the disciples had made, and Paul, that was added to the disciples, making up the 12. And then we have John the Revelator. And then all the prophets of the Old Testament that laid down the prophecies for the last days. They all dovetail together with all the prophets and the apostles in the New Testament. And there you have it, Isaiah 40, verse 6. For the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the righteousness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Yahshua bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. Now, where do we have another situation where Yahshua was passing by there in Jerusalem, and he saw a fig tree on the side of the road, and it was a pretentious fig tree. It was loaded with green leaves, and he says, well, I'm hungry. I'm going to get me something quick to eat off this fig tree. Apparently, it has luscious fruit on it. And he went and examined it, and it didn't have any fruit at all. Then he looked over the fence, and he saw all the other fig trees planted uniformly in an orchard. And they hadn't put on any fruit yet. But they weren't nearly as green as this tree out beside the road. And he said this pretentious fig tree that's growing out here along the byway here represents the Orthodox Jews in Jerusalem that will not accept me as the Redeemer sent from the Father. So this is what this fig tree represents. Oh, they're very pious and religious, and they claim to have the truth. And they have rejected me, and they have put on green leaves. Oh, their ceremonies and so forth in the temple every day. They're pretentious as they can be. They're so pious and so high and exalted. And they have written 613 new statutes and precepts to go with the Torah, the law of Moses. And they have exalted themselves above the law of Moses. They've exalted themselves above Yahweh. They've exalted themselves above anything that Yahweh has designated as his creative being, like myself, his son. They have exalted themselves above all of that, just like Lucifer did. But it says right here that the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Yahshua bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our Yahshua, the Son, shall stand forever. Okay, so in 1 Peter 1, 24 and 25, we have a cross-reference here to go to, and 1, 24 and 25. 1 Peter 1:24-25, he says, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is a flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of Yahshua endureth forever, and this is the word which by the Yahshua, Y-H-S-P-E-L, this is the Father's good news, through his Son is preached unto you." Okay, now it goes back to Isaiah 40, verse 6 to 8, and we'll go back and read that again. It says, "The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass." Okay, we didn't read that now. Let's go to verse 9. "O Zion, that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice, with the strength lifted up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your Elohim. Behold the Yahshua," it says, "behold your Elohim." There I go again. "Behold your God," G-O-D, and the translators intended for you to understand that this is talking about the Father, but it's not. It's talking about the Son. It says, "Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your Savior. Behold your lawgiver. Behold your King, your Emancipator." Now I'll go back to Genesis 49:10. It says, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes." And that's another name for Yahshua, is Shiloh. "Until he comes, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." So he said he's a lawgiver. So therefore, here Isaiah says this. Said, "Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah." What are the cities of Judah? They're all the churches of the Seventh-day Adventist Church all over the world. The cities of Judah is all over the world. Well, I say they are. The cities of Judah are not all over the world. The cities of Judah are here in the United States. Well, once again, I say, yes, it's not, it is all over the world. Because Davidia, that started in 1930, represents the cities of Judah. They're the lawgiver. They were set aside for that by prophecy of Ezekiel 4, when Judah was born in our day, by the prophecy. And so we know the Davidians have scattered all over the world. So they are. He's talking about the Davidian world here. "Say to the cities of Judah." Because if you were to say "say to the cities of Israel," you'd be talking about the 10 tribes representing the Adventists exclusively that rejected the cities of Judah. The lawgiver, in other words. And the cities of Judah has rejected the lawgiver. It says so in the prophecies of the prophets of the Old Testament. It says that the ten tribes rejected Yeshua the first. They went into captivity in 721 B.C. in the Assyrian captivity in Mesopotamia. They were taken over in by the they were taken captive in their own land in the north of Israel, but they were taken captive by the king of Assyria, which is in the land of Mesopotamia, north of the river Euphrates. So it says, Judah lasted until 605 B.C. 121 years later, Judah went into captivity for her sins, for the same sins of the 10 tribes in the north. But the 10 tribes went into captivity under the Assyrian captivity. The two tribes, Judah, went into captivity under the Babylonian captivity. So now, the 10 tribes were in captivity by the Assyrian nations, more than one nation. It was because the Assyrians was over a lot of nations, and whenever they took the 10 tribes captive, The ten tribes were held captive by quite a few nations, but one nation, Babylon, overthrew and took for Judah in the north as well. So now, it says here in Isaiah 40, verse 10, behold, the Yeshua Messiah will come with a strong hand. What does it mean with he will come with a strong hand? What is his right hand? That's his house of David, the lawgiver. That's the daughter of Zion. That's his right hand. That he's redeemed and purified, sanctified, and made this his battle axe in the time of war, Isaiah, Jeremiah 51, 18, 19, and 20. And his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm. There you have it. And gather and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the spirit of the Yeshua, or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed unto him the way of understanding? Okay, 1 Corinthians 2:16 gives us a cross-reference on that. 1 Corinthians 2:16, let's go look at it. For who hath known the mind of the Yeshua, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of the Yeshua. Let's back up and do that again now. Let's read verse 15. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Yeshua, that he may instruct him? Or let's just say that's talking about the Father here. Who hath known the mind of the Father, that he who may instruct him, that Yeshua his Son may instruct him, or that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Yeshua. Now in Philippians 2:5, it also talks about giving you a command, let this mind be in you, which is also in Yeshua. Let's go look at that. It says that, verse 5, let this mind be in you, that's Philippians 2, which was also in the Yeshua Messiah, the Son. So when it's talking about the mind to begin with, it's talking about the mind of the Father. So let his mind be in you. Well, what happens when you clean yourself up of all the debris that's and the clutter that's in your body and in your mind? What happens when you clean that all up? Then you let the mind of the Father come in. And when you let that mind of the Father come in, then that fulfills Isaiah 54:13. First, let's go ahead and finish reading Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in the Yeshua Messiah, who being in the form of God, it says here, so I know it's talking about the Father, who being in the form of his Father, thought it not robbery to be equal with his Father. So since he had his Father's mind, and he thought it not robbery to be equal with him. Now in James 5:18, it talks a little bit more about this. Let's go look at that. See what we have to say there. James 5:18. It says, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. That's James 5:18. I'm trying to make the correlation here. All right, let's go ahead and go back now to Isaiah 54, where it talks about Yahweh as a teacher of all of his children. Let's read that for just a moment. It says in verse 13, Isaiah 54, and all thy children shall be taught of the Yeshua, There you have it again. Taught of the Yeshua. Well, didn't Yeshua teach the disciples how he got his information from the Father, and he taught what the Father told him to teach? And so Yeshua taught them of the Father. So it says in Isaiah 54:13, it says, "And all thy children shall be taught of the Yeshua, and great shall be the peace of thy children." It says in verse 14, Isaiah 54, "In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in the judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Yeshua, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Yeshua." Well, you know what? This also works in the civil government. Donald Trump is a servant of Yahweh. It's raised up by Yahweh. It says so there in, in that book of Isaiah. Well, yeah, Isaiah 44. It says, let's read verse 26 through 28. "That confirmeth the word of his servant, and performeth the counsel of his messengers, that saith unto Jerusalem, Thou shalt be inhabited, and to the cities of Judah ye shall be built, and I will raise up the decayed places thereof, that saith unto the deep, Be dry, and I will dry up thy rivers, that saith to Cyrus, He is my shepherd." Okay, that same thing today. The prophecy only applies today. It can only apply to one, and that's Donald Trump. That saith unto Cyrus, Donald Trump, antitypical Cyrus, "He is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying unto Jerusalem, Thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid." So he raises up a heathen king, so to speak, someone that's not a Jew of the house of Israel, but he said, "He's my servant." And then in Isaiah 45, verse 1, "Thus saith Yeshua unto his anointed, unto Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut." Oh, my goodness. So he's opened up the loins of kings. He's loosed up the loins of kings. Okay, so the kings of the nations, he's loosened up their loins. And guess what? They helped him to open before Cyrus, or Donald Trump today, the two-leaved gates. What's the two-leaved gates? They're the two gates that guards the Washington, D.C. Capitol. That's around the Capitol grounds. So, Donald Trump, being an outsider, he's being an independent. He's not of either party, Democrat or Republican, but he did run on the Republican ticket so that he could get a spot in the running. And he says, loosed the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates at Washington, D.C., at a typical Bible's location, and that gate shall not be shut. Once those gates are open, they're never going to be shut again. They're never going to be shut again, because the new king is coming in to take over, and Donald Trump is actually the king of Babylon today. He's the king of Babylon. He just overthrew the last king of Babylon, antitypical Belshazzar, Obama, by being an outsider coming in. It was a warfare. It was a political warfare. I mean, it was just as real as any war you could ever fight between two forces. That one against the other, vehemently against each other. And it said, Isaiah 45:2, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. So those gates around Washington, D.C., that has been open, they're never going to be closed again. They're never going to be closed. They're going to be cut in sunder. And Isaiah 45:3, and I will give thee the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places. Well, where are these hidden riches of secret places at? All of the leaders and all of the rich people of the earth, they have taken and opened up secret bank accounts in secret places around the world. There's trillions of dollars stored in those secret places. And what's he saying here now to his antithetical servant Cyrus, Donald Trump? And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and the hidden... in other words, I'm going to show you what they have conspired in darkness. And you go back to Ezekiel 8 to read about the prophecy on that. Okay. And the hidden riches of secret places. So he's going to open up all this to Donald Trump and his government. And I will give thee the treasures of the darkness and the hidden riches of the secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Yeshua, which call thee by thy name, am the King of Israel, your Redeemer. For Jacob, my servant's sake. Now this, Yeshua is doing this here in the last days for Jacob, his servant's sake. For we know Jacob is the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. And we know that their posterity was guaranteed clear into eternity. So let's go ahead and read about it now. For Jacob, for Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, my elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee Donald Trump today, though thou hast not known me. Now, who did he say he's going to do this for? For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, mine elect. What's he elect? The 144,000. I have even called thee by thy name. And he said, I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. And he said, I am the Yeshua, and there is none else. There is no another deity beside me. It says God here, but this is talking about Yeshua. He says, I'm the only begotten Son of the Father. And this is what Yahshua is essentially saying here. If the translators would put the sacred names in there, we wouldn't have no trouble explaining all of this. So I'm going to put the sacred names in there, and I'm going to show you what it means. I am the Yahshua, and there is none else. There is no other begotten Son of the Father that has been commissioned to do the work of the Father here on earth on his behalf, in his name. So there's no other beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. This is Yahshua talking about to his servant, antitypical Cyrus, Donald Trump. He said, I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. How can you prove that? Donald Trump has never gone to a synagogue. He's never been known to have kept the seventh-day Sabbath. He's never been known to acknowledge all the feast days until he became president, and his daughter Ivanka married a Jewish fellow and joined the synagogue and started keeping the Sabbath and teaching and causing her father to believe in the same thing, and he acknowledged it, that the Sabbath is the true Sabbath. He said, I girded thee, as thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Yahshua, and there is none else. There you have it. I am the Son of the Living Father, and there is none else that holdeth with me in this. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. What does he mean by that? I form the light and create darkness. Let's just pause right there and go to John 14. And let's see if we can't get John agreeing with this statement. John 14, verse 6. Let's see if John don't agree with that statement about Yahshua creating the light. John 14, 6. Yahshua saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, in another place, he says, I am the light of the world. Let's look at that. Now, in John 8:12, it says, Then spake Yahshua again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. Okay, now in John 12:35, it elaborates more on this. It says, Then Yahshua said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. For ye have light. While you have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of the light. These things spake Yahshua and departed, and did hide himself from them. Now in John 11, it says, verse 9, Yahshua answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things saith he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. Okay, now we go back to Isaiah 45. Now, it says here in Isaiah 45:7 once again, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. How do Yahshua do all these things? Drop down, ye heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation. And let righteousness spring up together. I, the Yahshua, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. If the potsherds strive with the spotsherds of the earth, shall the clay say unto him that fashioned it, What makest thou, or thy work? He hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, What begettest thou, or to the woman, What hast thou brought forth? Thus saith Yahshua, the Holy One of Israel. This is right here, Isaiah 45:11. The Holy One of Israel and his Maker. Ask me of things to come concerning my Son and concerning the work of my hands. Command ye me. Thus saith Yahshua, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker. Who's his Maker? The Father is the Maker of Yahshua, the Holy One of Israel. Ask me of things to come concerning my Son. Now this talking about the Father is asking, telling the Son, says, tell the people to ask me of things to come concerning my Son and concerning the work of my hand. Command ye me. Alright, now, the Father, I'm going to go to finish this sermon up on John 1:12. I'm on John 1:12. It's pretty interesting here when we really look at it. It says that, But as many as received him, who? Received the Son, unto them gave he power to become the sons of the Father Yahweh, even unto them that believe on his name. So if you believe on the Son's name, and even if you believe on the Father's name, then the Son will give you power to become the sons of Yahweh. So there you have it right there, Isaiah 45:11. Thus saith Yeshua, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, Yahweh the Father, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me, command it. because it goes on saying, Isaiah 45:12, I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. Okay. I have raised him up in righteousness. In other words, he says, I have raised this Donald Trump up in a typical sheriff. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, Jerusalem, and he shall let go my captives, not for price nor reward, saith the Yeshua of the host. This brings the close of our study today. Contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Work for the night is coming.
Work for the night is coming. Work through the morning hours. Look for the dew is sparkling. Work with springing flowers. Work while the day grows brighter under the glowing sun. Work for the night is coming when man's work is done. Work for the night is coming. Work through the sunny noon, filled by the sounds with labor that's come sure and soon. Give every flying manna something to keep in store. Work for the night is coming when man's work no more. Work for the night is coming under the sunset stars, while the bright tents are glowing.